It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and we thank God for His Word. This morning, we're going to be taking you to Matthew chapter 13, and we're looking at some selected verses from Matthew chapter 13. And the disciples came and said unto Him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has." I want to preach on the subject. Some folks just don't get it. Just don't get it. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for your wonderful word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts and feed us, nourish us with the manna from on high. And Lord, as we have prayed this morning and as we have sought your face concerning not only our own needs, but the needs of many others, we're grateful now for the opportunity to hear your word. I'd be the first to admit that I'm not able to deliver such a holy word. It is only through the power of your Holy Spirit. So speak by the Spirit to our hearts that we might be obedient to your word and, Lord, to follow that which you've given. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the church said, amen. Some folks just don't get it. Jesus said to his disciples when they asked the question, "Why do you talk to them in riddles? Why don't you just tell them what's on your mind?" And Jesus said something that I think every one of us needs to pay attention to. He said, "Because it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom, but it's not given to them." Now, this raises a question, and you can see what we're talking about when we're saying some people don't get it, because Jesus is speaking at a level that they cannot comprehend it. He's speaking at a level that they don't know how to take it, and yet, if they really paid attention, they could get it. But they don't get it because they've got other interests in their mind. I want to just say that there are some people that don't believe in God, period, okay? So we need to understand that they're not going to get it because they don't believe in God. They don't trust in God. But then there are people who are trusting God, but they'd much rather have God's stuff than to have God. And they're more interested in what God can do for them than what God can be for them. Yes, we need God for everything. We know that. But God is concerned about this fellowship, this relationship. He's interested in you knowing Him and in knowing Him becoming like Him. Am I getting there? Are we getting there? So there are some people that don't get it because they've got things in their life that would keep them from that level of wanting to walk with Jesus. Do you want Him to walk with you today? Amen. Not just to bless you. You know He's going to do that. There's no way that you can walk with God and Him not pour out His goodness and mercy on your life. And so we need to understand that. But another issue comes up that I think that we need to really deal with, because there's a lot of folk that think that God is fair. And I want to raise a question. Is He? The very fact that we brought up this scripture says He's not fair. The very fact that we're saying to them it is not given. Now, if He's not giving it to some and He's giving it to others, then that's not fair, right? You all are looking at me strange. God is not fair. But God is good. He didn't have to give everybody the same thing to be good. As a matter of fact, it would not be in God's best interest if he were fair. I know I'm messing with you now. I know I'm messing with you because when we look at fairness, you've got to understand that people, there are some who will not use it. So if God gives them on the basis of fairness and they don't use it, well God was fair. But they're not going to use it. And who would better know than God himself? So he says, you know what? I'm not fair. I'm not going to give them because they're not going to use it. Y'all still with me? Don't tune out on me now. I want to keep you zeroed in because we really got to deal with this thing. There's some people that they'll get back and complain. Well, why doesn't God bless me the way he's blessing someone else? Why can't I have what they got? Can you handle what they got? And maybe you don't know what they've been through to get what. Lord have mercy. I preached the whole sermon right there. God is not fair, but God is good. But then the second thing that we've got to understand about it, not only are there people that will not use it, but there are people who are not ready for it. Amen. Come on, admit it now. Amen. Come on, admit it. You prayed for a whole lot of stuff that you didn't get, but then later on you found out you wasn't ready for it. Anyway. Amen. Nobody puts a two-year-old behind the wheel of a car. Now, you're going to give them a car one day, but not at 2 years old. Amen, somebody. There are times in your life that you're not spiritually mature enough to handle what God's going to send your way. So what you need to do is just back off. Quit asking for it because he's not going to give it to you right now. It's not the issue of he's not fair. He knows what's for your good. And what we're talking about is the goodness of God, not the fairness of God. Oh, Lord have mercy. Preach, Coleman. What I'm trying to tell you is this. If you would concentrate on the goodness of God, whatever comes your way, God will take care of you. That's the simple thing. That's the simple thing. And then not only have I found that there are people who will not use it and they're not ready for it, but then there are people who simply don't want it. They don't want it. They are self-sufficient. But how many people need God? Do I have any witnesses out there? You need him every day. You need him every hour. You need him because you know that nobody else can do in your life but God. I thought about this morning, right? I thought about it, the fact that, you know, there were disciples that didn't want to walk with Jesus. And you know what they did? They left him. And the other disciples, they said, Jesus looked at him and said, now, will you go also? They said, Lord, where are we going? Well, and I thought about the disciples, Joe, that were walking away from him. And I asked myself, where are you going? If you're not going to follow God, Barbara, who are you going to follow? Kim, if you're not going to walk with Jesus, who are you going to walk with? Come on, am I making sense? And there's some people that say, you know what, I don't want this God thing. But I tell you what, I want him. If nobody else want him, I want him. Say, if nobody else going to call on him, I'm going to call on him. Because I know he's a prayer answering God. And I know he can make a way out of no way. So Jesus said to his disciples, it's not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But I'm going to give it to you. And guess what, you disciple? Guess what Jesus is going to do for you? Guess what he's going to say? He's going to speak the mystery so that you can understand what God is saying, because he wants you to not just know he's got a blessing in store for you. He wants you to know him. Amen. If you don't get everything else in life, but you get God, I'm telling you, you got it all. If you don't get every dime and every nickel that he's going to send your way, if you don't get the silver and gold, you can say, such as I have, such as I have, I give it to you. See, because you need to understand that this is not for everybody. It's not for everybody, but it is for you that love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Y'all still with me? All right, so Jesus said, now look, I'm not going to give it to them. But unto you it is given to have and to know the mysteries of God. How many of you, when you first started off, you didn't know a whole lot about the Lord? But now, years later, you can say, you know what? God's been good to me. Hadn't always been fair, hadn't given me what everybody else had, but you know what? He walked with me. He talked with me. Miss Kabler, he told me that I was his own. See, when you know God in that kind of way, you're not worried about the stuff that you got and the stuff that you don't have. You know you got Jesus. And that's enough. Amen? So you got everything that you need. Think about it. To reveal to you the mysteries of the kingdom. Nobody's going to tell you mysteries unless they want you to understand what you need to do. So the reason why you're getting it and they're not getting it is because God says, when you get it, I want you to go with it. Did I miss something? In other words, I don't want you to say, you know what? I got it. See, there's a difference between fact finders and faithful people. The fact finder said, well, I just want to know. I just want to know. And I just want to have this information. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? The Apostle Paul ran across a group of people in Athens, and the folks in Athens, they gathered on this hill, and they would talk about and they would discuss philosophy, and all they wanted to do was hear some new thing and to present some new thing, nothing else. God didn't call you to be a walking encyclopedia. Amen, somebody. God called you to a life of faith. How many of y'all know that first you need him, but then you share him?
Amen.
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 You know how you got to where you are right now, but then you want to be able to take what you got and give to somebody else so that they can say, oh, yeah, I know he's a way maker. Yes. Oh, yeah, I know he's a burden bearer. Oh, I know he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You got to get it. They won't get it. You the folks on the outside, they don't want it or they can't handle it, but you got it. Don't touch your neighbor, but just look at him and say, I got it. Yeah, we ain't going to touch nobody. We're not going to touch them, but we're going to let them know that we got it. Amen. We got it. Thank God that we have it. Now, why do we have it? We're going to get into these parables, but I want you to know something. As you look at these three parables, three of them, one is the parable of the sower. The sower, he went forth to sow. And one was the parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares. They grew together. And the other was, the third parable is the parable of the mustard seed. It grew large. Started off a little small seed. Reverend Fred had one of the bags that had mustard seed. And very small seed grew large. You say, what does that have to do with faithfulness of your own heart? Now, while we look at these parables and we say that it's talking about different kinds of people, but it could be talking about one kind of heart. So as a disciple and you knowing the mysteries of the kingdom, you got to constantly ask yourself, do I know what's going on in my heart? Now, I'm going to break it down to you in just a minute, but you got to understand from this standpoint what Jeremiah said a long time ago. You better know what's in your heart because your heart will trick you. People say, I got this gut feeling. No, you got indigestion. That's what you got. Your heart will trick you. I'm willing to admit many times my heart has tricked me. But you know what did not trick me? The Word of God. God's Word of truth stood firm. It helped me through some troubled times, even when I didn't know anything else, but the Lord is my shepherd. That's a good one, amen? Because I knew who was going to take care of me. The heart is deceitful. And notice he said, desperately wicked. Now, whose heart? Somebody else's? No, the one, that spiritual heart that you got inside of you. Don't let it play tricks on you. And as you look at these parables today, the first one that Jesus talked about was the parable of the sower. It's all about faithfulness. It's all about faithfulness, the parable of the sower. He talks about it where the sower went out to sow seed. For you city folk, we used to have to sow seed by hand. You grab your bucket and you pick your target and you'd walk toward that target and you sow seed. Then we got sophisticated and we got this little handheld sower that went on your shoulder and had a little wheel that turned in there and it broadcast the seed out. All right? That's how we would sow the seed. But if you notice where the seed falls, some of it falls along the path. And guess what would happen? Birds would swoop down and eat it up as fast as you were putting it down. Some would fall on the rock. Now, it'd start growing. But then after the sun would come out, it would wither. And this is what Jesus was telling them. Then he said some would fall over in the weeds. I mean, as good as I tried to stay away from the weeds, amen, I couldn't stay. David, I was walking over there, and it just fall over in the weeds. And guess what happened? The weeds would choke it. But then some would fall in the good ground that had been broken up and prepared for the seed, and it would grow and bring forth fruit. Now, some of the people listening to Jesus, they didn't get it. What does this got to do with me? Let me tell you something. There have been times that God has spoken to you, and because your mind was on something else and not on God, as soon as the word came, just like the bird swooped down and picked it up, that's what happened to you. And then after a while, you get back and say, well, you know what? The Lord told me to do that. Well, stupid. Why? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you. I didn't. But why didn't you listen in the first place? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of people that has happened to, because it has happened to all of us. Amen. You better know your heart. Amen. The word was sown. It was given. We just didn't act on it. For instance, God tells us, don't be afraid. I'm with you. What do? Oh. And he tells us, don't worry. And what do? Get up in the middle of the night and pace the floor. Quit wearing out your carpet. Word sown. But then the enemy comes and scoops it up because our heart was not ready for it. And we could go on with the example of the heart and the stony ground where it's put on the rock. And there's some times where God will tell you, now you need to do this. You need to go over there and apologize to so-and-so. You need to tell them, uh-oh, I done stepped. Oh, my goodness. And instead of us doing that, we got this hardness in our heart. We're not ready for it. Well, Lord, I'm going to wait till next year this time. And you know what we're trying to do? Trying to buy time until we can forget about it. And meanwhile, when the person comes near us, we can't stand them. Now, what's happened to you? The word would have grown, but you had a hard heart. Lord, have mercy. I don't have time to preach on just this one parable, but you get the point. All of us have been there. So what Jesus is saying to the disciples, I'm expecting you to be faithful. I want you to be that good ground when I tell you what you need to do, when I give you instructions from my word. I don't want you waiting 2 weeks. I want you to let the word grow and produce fruit in your life, because I can do so much. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Don't get hard-hearted. I don't even want to get to the one where worries come in, the weeds of life. So many of us are worried about, well, what am I going to do? You know, one of the concerns my wife has, how am I going to pay for health insurance? My God, you got Jesus, the healer. And I keep telling her that. She said, I know. Next day, same conversation. Weeds. Get the weeds out of your mind. Let me ask you this simple question. Hasn't God been good to you this far? What makes you think that he's going to give up on you now? Why in the world would he invest all this time, bring you all this way for you to just worry about what's going to happen? God's going to happen. That's what it is. And we simply got to trust him. Watch your heart. Guard your heart. Bible said, do diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Like the soldiers, we used to get out there and guard things, and we'd walk to and fro. We'd be looking to see what was going to threaten it, because we were appointed to guard. And you are appointed to guard your heart. with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Do you see what I'm saying? You got to get it. Jesus wants you to get it. Second parable was the wheat and the tares. And this is an interesting one because you can miss this one because the wheat, listen, the wheat was sown. And then all of a sudden, what happened, Freddie, is that after the wheat was sown, you see these weeds come up. At first it looked like the wheat. But then as it grew, no, that's a tare. That's a tare. And the tares were poisonous. Do you get what I'm saying? Here is a good wheat field. Now it's got poisonous stuff in the midst of it. So they suggested to the owner, they said, do you want us to go and dig up the tares? He said, no. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. Wait a minute. And I had to get back. I had to pray. Lord, why don't you want us to go out and get the tares out of the field? Obviously, they're going to be there and you're not going to get the glory. See, sometimes in your life, you can try to correct stuff that was not intended for you to correct. All God wants you to do is be good wheat. For instance, the issues and the matter of the church is not to go out there and try to run this program and that program. Your job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do I have a witness here? Amen. And let me put this on the personal level. So many of us are paying more attention to trying to correct other folk because they are tare. And we're wheat. You can spend all your time trying to correct other folks. It's your job just to give it. If they don't want it, go on to somebody else. Amen? And I'm not saying you shouldn't take time with people, but listen, some people will wear you out because they're stubborn and they ain't going to change. And you can spend your breath all you want to, you know, but next time just post a sign right there. And the sign said, I told you before. Be good wheat. If you're not a tare, be good wheat. I wrote a couple of things down. I'm almost out of time. But you need to understand what God is trying to do in your life, what he's telling you to do, and how he's telling you to do it. So the second thing is, spend your time focusing on why you are wheat. Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. Instead of you focusing on tares, look at what God is doing in your life. And here's a good way to start. Go back and look at where you came from. Because rather than God's people coming to church and praising God, they come to church complaining about what's wrong in the world. Well, you ought to thank God that he kept you alive through all of this mess. Amen. You ought to have a praise for God based on the fact that he never left you alone. How about that? That'll preach, won't it? And then we need to also recognize that in our faith, that being good wheat, even though the harvest is getting ready to come, but being good wheat, there were people who would walk through the wheat field like the other disciples, and they got hungry, and they'd rub a little grain together, and then they'd eat it. And they would, that was called, you know, they could glean it even before the harvest had come, right? The harvest is not here yet. In other words, you're not out of this world yet. And there are people who are hungry. The world is starving for the living bread. You ought to have enough wheat on your stalk. I'm sorry, I gone country on y'all. Jackie, they didn't get it. You know, I'm going country. In other words, wheat grows on stalks, and so you peel it back, and then you can get the wheat. Okay, y'all got it now. All right. What am I saying? I'm saying that God has some goodness in you. So that hungry folk will come your way.
Amen.
But if all your life you've spent looking at the tares and worrying about them, you won't be grown enough. Right. That's a good one. Look at somebody and say, you got to be grown. You got to be grown. Amen. If you're going to give somebody else something, you got to be grown. It's grown folk business. Amen. You know, to quit talking like a child. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Gwen, I acted like a child. But when I got grown, I put away childish things. Now, if they're coming to you expecting to hear from Jesus, and all you talking is baby talk because you worried about the tares. Amen. But if you know the Lord, and you know that he's a way maker, you know that he's a burden bearer, you know that he's a friend, you know that he's never left you, then you can give somebody some of your wheat. Oh, Lord, have, give the Lord a hand. Amen. So you got to know what he's done for you. And I'm almost out of time, but I want to get to the last one. That's the parable of the mustard seed. Because I'm telling you, our church has grown. If you look at your life, you have grown. If you start back where you came from, God had to give you the word. You allowed it to grow in your life. That was a sower. He was doing a work in your life, and then you grew, and you quit worrying about the tares, and you said, you know what? I'm just going to be what God wants me to be, best Christian I can be. I'm going to try to be a witness for the Lord. And now that you've grown, you better watch yourself. You thought he just put this parable there just to say the mustard seed. Some of you grew from a small mustard seed. You didn't have much faith. Like Mercy Me sings in this song, they say a little faith is all you need. He said, that's all I got. I'm struggling. But now you've grown. And after that mustard seed grows, it becomes large. It becomes big. And Jesus said the fowls of the air would gather under his branches. Now, again, growing up from the country, you don't want birds in your garden. You don't want birds in your garden. Now, this has nothing to do with birds, but it has to do with influences in, Lord have mercy, in your life. Because now that you are blessed, people are going to look at you and say, you know what? I want to be around you. Be careful. Lord, have mercy. I need to end the sermon, and I just started preaching. Look at somebody and say, birds of a feather flock together. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't watch the folk that hang out in your life, either you're going to bring them up or they're going to bring you down. Oh, do I have a witness in the building today? You better watch. Look at somebody again. Say, watch the birds. I know you're tired of talking to me, but I got to tell you this one. Watch the birds. If you don't watch the birds, all they come to do is gather on your wing, eat your fruit. Lord, have mercy. They're going to eat up everything you plant because that's what birds do. And then they'll reproduce. It said, Jesus said in the parable, they will gather under your wings and make their nest there. When I thought about that, I thought about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon in the Old Testament, had a dream. God warned him in a dream. You better watch yourself. Why? Because he had gotten proud. He'd gotten proud. The Lord had used him to conquer kingdoms. All of that was under his control. And the Bible said that you're going to be like a tree, and you, your nails are going to grow, and you're going to be like an animal. And sure enough, the book of Daniel records it where Nebuchadnezzar was walking in his house. Oh, saints of God. Yeah, I know you can cover it up in a testament. The Lord's been good to me. When I first started serving the Lord, I ain't have nothing, but look at it now. Look at me now. Once I had to scramble for food, but now, look at me, look at me, look at me. Yeah, look at you. Nebuchadnezzar was boasting, and I heard an angel from heaven saying, this day your kingdom is taken away from you, and you're going to be like the animals. Hair grew long, and guess what the Bible talks about? That the birds started gathering around. Because where there are bugs, you know, if your hair grow long and you ain't washing it, you got bugs in your hair. Now I got bugs pecking them all upside the head. Yeah, come here, you need to go to the hairdresser, right? Yeah, he had a mess on his hand. And that's where a lot of us, when we allow the pride of life to creep in, stay humble with God. God didn't have to give you all of that. And he never gave you that for you to show that you're better than somebody else. He gave it to you because he loved you.
Amen.
He counted you faithful.
Amen.
When people look at you and tell you all you tuck your head and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Now, I didn't say deny what he gave you. Didn't say that. But don't stick out your chest. Don't raise yourself up and want to put trophies all over your wall and talk about how great you are. You remember where the Lord found you? Huh? I know you say he brought me from a long way. Guess what? He can take you back. Talking about take me back. Yeah, he can take you back. He'll take you right back where you started unless you recognize what that mustard seed is all about. So what do we do? What do we do? Watch the influences in your life. Make sure that you're not becoming a habitation for evil. But God's going to use you for the greater good. Here's a couple of thoughts as we close. First of all, as true disciples, and I picked up this material, it involves self-denial. Self-denial. Jesus said, now, if you're going to come after me, you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. America's culture is based on individuality. It's who you are as a person. Jesus' culture says you're nobody when you come to God and you take on the name of Christ. You give up yourself and you follow me. That's hard. That's not a piece of cake. Because every morning you get up, you got to get into this thing where I got to deny myself and recognize that this is God working in my life. Second thing is discipline. Self-discipline. Jesus said, follow me. What are most people following today? You know what that means. Dollar. Lord, bless me on this new job. Why'd you get the job? Got more money. Excuse me? And I'm talking to myself. I ain't talking to you. But you got to be careful. And if you do get one that pays more, find out ways that you can give more and do more. Amen. Amen. Don't think God is against progress. He's not. But he wants you to constantly hear that voice in your heart, in your mind. Okay, I'm going to follow Christ in this. I'm going to follow him. Amen. Y'all still with me? I see y'all done tuned me out now. You just said, no, you just done said too much, preacher. You talking about denying self and you talking about discipline. Jesus said, follow me. Then the last thing is self-dedication. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. You got to be dedicated because the cross means suffering. I don't want to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you, just this last week, you could have done something to get back at people, but you didn't? You said, you know what? I'm going to suffer through this. I could say something, but I'm not going to say it. I could definitely do something, but I'm not going to do it. I'm following Christ, and because I'm following Christ, I'm committed. I'm committed. And lastly, I want to just say that you got to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but you also got to give it. Don't just get it. Give it. Realize that God's word is not about what you can get and what the economy is all about. It's about eternity. And it's not just about greatness. We don't want to be great. We want to be good. Because God is good. Am I right? Amen. Then the last thing is, don't worry about who's stronger. Man, that's a hard one. When you know you can win an argument, when you know you could tear people up just with a few words, and instead of you tearing them up, you just let them go. It's not about might. It's about right. And you don't have to prove to anybody who you are. How many of you saints of God, you know who you are? You're sure of it because God has your life. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I don't know what to say, God. I really don't. I'm just amazed how you have spoken to us. You just want us to be faithful. These three parables, I pray that as believers, as we get back home, that we'll reread that 13th chapter of Matthew and discover the freshness of your word that applies to this heart of ours. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Don't extend the invitation. I'm over time. I ran over time. I know I'm cutting into Sunday school and everything else, but I had to preach it. Amen. Amen. If there's anyone that you have desired to be a part of the family of God, we invite you to come.